Alabama dates back to more than 1400 years ago. So what could be the relation? I mean, religiously speaking and in the lifestyle to today's world, and especially the status of women in today's world. Said Mohsen, let's start with you, brother.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, according to the question that you just put forward, that she is related to 1400 years ago.
Yes.
The point is, when we talk about a role model, we don't talk about a person who's living in our era, and she's telling us how to sit, stand. Like, the role model is not telling us how to sit, stand, and the things that we need to do, or how to clothe. The main idea is that when we talk about a role model, it's the lifestyle that they're giving us, the modesty, the, you know, the macro ethics
yes.
that we need to follow. And when we see the life of the Lady Fatima, salamu alayha, yes, she is the best role model. Why? Because she was the perfect woman.
Yes.
And she was known as the master of the all women of the world.
Yes.
So when she's the master of all the women of the world, in purity, in chastity, I don't know, in, you know, in ethics and all those. So basically, she is a role model till the day of judgment for everyone, the way the Quran is.
Okay.
Obviously, we know that there are four ladies.
Yes.
There was Lady Asiya, the
yes.
wife of Ra.
Yes.
Lady Maryam, salamu alayha. Lady Khadija, who
yes.
was the wife of the Prophet, the first wife.
Yes.
And Lady Fatima, who's the daughter of the Prophet of Islam. So
okay.
these are the four, basically, women.
Okay.
According to the Islamic traditions and Islamic teachings, who are the best ladies, best women, and the role model for all the rest of the people.
Okay.
And when we're talking about the Lady Fatima, salamu alayha, she's not just the role model for the women, but
mm-hmm.
she was a role model for the men as well.
That's right.
Because we have many traditions. For example, there is a tradition from Imam Mahdi alayhi salam,
yes.
The 12th Imam, he said that, في بنت رسول الله لي أسوة حسنة. In the life of the daughter of the Prophet, Lady Fatima,
yes.
salam alayhi, there is a role model for me.
That's right, for us.
And there is obviously there is the things that we need to obviously explain now, how he takes her as a role model.
That's right.
For
okay.
his life.
That's right. But what made Lady Fatima al-Zahra prominent and outstanding? As Sayyid said, among all the men and women of all times, what were her main attributes?
Yes, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Lady Zahra, salamullah alayha, was of course a great lady, a prominent lady in the history. When we look at the lifestyle of Lady Zahra, salamullah alayha, we can look at her lifestyle from different perspectives.
Yes.
One is, for example, moral perspective. The
yes.
other is political perspective. Social or economical perspective. From different angles, we can look at her life. When it comes to her lifestyle in her family, we see that Lady Zahra Samullah Aleyha was a great mother because she trained the people or his grand or great son, like Imam Hussein and Imam Hassan Alayhi Salaam. And Lady Zainab, salamullahi alayha.
Nurturing the children.
Yeah,
these
children of Lady Zahra, salamullahi alayha, played a very great role
mm-hmm.
in the history of Islam, not only in the history of Islam, history of the humanity.
Very good.
So this is the role of a great mother.
Very good.
That's why it has lots of lessons for our mothers nowadays.
Yes.
How to train, how to bring up their children.
That's right.
When it comes with her relationship to her husband, Imam Ali alayhi salatu wassalam, you see that Imam Ali is such a great person that no one except Lady Zahra could have been, let's say, a proper kind of wife for
yes.
such a great personality.
Or maybe vice versa, because
yeah, vice
you know,
versa, exactly.
she was the daughter
exactly.
of Prophet Muhammad,
yeah,
and
yeah,
then,
course, yeah.
for example, looking for a husband, who better than... Okay,
yeah.
see, this is really...
Yeah.
Sometimes we see some couples during the history have changed the course of history.
Exactly.
Imam Ali
yeah.
alayhi salam and Fatima al-Zahra were among such couples.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I think the most important aspect of the life of Lady Zahra salamullah alayha is her social and political aspect of her lifestyle. Because, you know, when it comes to political aspect
yes.
of Lady Zahra's life, we see that she supported strongly, powerfully, the leadership and the imam and this position of Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. In a way that some historians and researchers are of the view that she sacrificed herself for the sake of Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam.
Okay.
So because of what? Because the position of imam or the status of Amir al-Mu'mineen and this leader, divine leadership was such an important position that a great personality like Lady Zahra salamullah alayha sacrificed herself for this to protect, to preserve, to support this position.
That's right.
And when it comes to the social life of Lady Zahra salamullah alayha, you see that after the demise of the Holy Prophet, she were going outside the house, speaking with the people, presenting lectures, speeches among the people,
yes,
to guide the people, to teach the people. And I think this is also one of the really, really important aspect of the lifestyle of Lady Zahra salamullah alayha, because it shows that Lady Zahra, first of all, was a knowledgeable kind of woman.
Yes.
Because hadn't she been a knowledgeable person,
yes,
she would have not been able to support Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, to spread the teachings of Islam, to teach the people, to train the scholarly figures like Imam Hassan, Imam Hussain, Lady Zainab, salamullahi alayha.
Especially after Saqifah event,
yeah,
she went to the Muhajir and Ansar,
yeah,
the gatherings over there, and talks about the virtues and merits of Imam Ali alayhi salam. So she must be the best orator. I mean, a person who can give lecture, you know, a person who has mastery over different fields of studies regarding Islamic ones, you know, and talking about the from the tongue of Prophet Muhammad.
Yeah, of course.
He is talking.
Yeah,
okay.
Of course, when it comes to the way that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi treated and behaved Lady Zahra sallallahu alayhi, there are great lessons for us, because it is narrated by both Sunni and Shia scholars and narrators that even when Lady Zahra sallallahu alayhi was a child, was for example some 8 or 7 or 9 years old, when she was to enter the house of the Holy Prophet salawatullahi alayhi, it is said that the Prophet stood up and moved towards Lady Zahra salamullah alayha,
as a sign of
and
respect,
kissed her hand, and brought it and seated in his position, in his place.
Yes, yes.
This was the way that Prophet salawatullahi alayhi respected Lady Zahra salamullah alayha.
Yes, that's right. The high position, and we all know the story of the creation of Lady Fatima al-Zahra. Prerequisites and the requirements that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put for Prophet Muhammad as a prescription, we can say, and these necessary conditions for Lady Khadija and Hazrat Muhammad, all of them has shown of, we can say, the birth of a person who is going to change the course of history, that is Lady Fatima al-Zahra. Okay, and these are all documented in both Shiite and Sunni references,
yes,
and all we can
what
say.
I mentioned was from Sunni sources.
Yes, yes, authentic. They are authentic.
Yes, of course.
That's all right. Okay, what other aspects of the life of Lady Fatima can we highlight for today's world, especially for the women, how they can benefit from her character?
Well, I want to go through a list of her,
very good.
We can say, like, characteristics or virtues that she had. For example, number one, we see that she was an exemplary daughter of a father, where she reached to a level where Prophet said that you are Umm Abiha, you're the mother of your father. You know, the mother takes care of their children, right?
Yes.
And if a daughter is taking too much care of the father so that he feels the love of mother from the daughter, that's the level where she was. So for our daughters who are in the home, when they take care of their parents, or the, especially fathers, obviously,
Good.
We need to have a role model. And Hazrat Fatima Tazara Salamu Alayha was the role model, and there is a story obviously behind it, when the Prophet has given.
So
I'm going through the list right
yes.
now.
This aspect could be very much related to
yes.
the daughters and
to
the girls
daughters.
Taking care of their parents.
Yes. Taking care of the parents,
the
role that they
yes,
have
yes.
there in the
wow.
house,
so
how
important.
To take care of father or mother or the rest of the house.
Good.
A loving and supporting wife.
Yes.
That Imam Ali said that I never heard any word against
yes.
me or anything
yes.
that I have done from my wife.
Any frown even.
Any frown, yeah.
Any frown.
Anything.
Yes.
She was a caring mother, as our brother has said.
Yes.
And At the place of mother, I just remembered, like, you know, one of the poems, it was said in Urdu by one of our teachers. He said, "Dar pe Zahra ke agar koi bhi izzat pa jaye, phir to bin mange hi dunya mein wo jannat pa jaye. Sadqe kya cheez hai aghosh janab Zahra, isme pal jaye jo bachcha wo imamat pa jaye." Now this means that when you go enter into the door of the Fatimah Zahra salamu alayha, the best thing that you can take, the least thing, the minimum thing that you can take from there is that you become honorable. It gives you the honor.
Yes.
And let me give you an example about the honor, how you become honorable, that if someone is brought up in the house of Lady Fatima, they become imam. This is the least thing which a person, a boy who's been brought up in the life, in the house of Fatima Zahra salamu alayha, the least thing
for
is...
For sure he's an imam.
Yes, for sure he's an imam.
Okay.
And the beautiful aspect is that we know that Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein, according to the Sunni and Shia, there is no doubt in it, in all traditions and all the books, it is authentic that they both are the masters of the heaven.
Heaven.
And
the youths of the heaven.
Yes.
Yes.
Of the youths of the heaven.
Yes, yes.
And on the other hand, we have heard that if you want heaven, it's below your feet of your mother.
Yes.
Yes, yes. Aqdam ummah.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's below your feet. Okay. So the masters of the heaven, the youth of the heaven, where is their heaven? It's below the feet of the Fatima Zahra salamu alayha, the Lady Fatima. Right. So these are the ranks, like as a daughter, as a wife, as a mother, you know, she's a role model.
Yes.
So these are the aspects that we need to have, that when we have our mothers, if they want to train, if they want to brought up their kids, they should brought up when Lady Fatima is giving imam, an infallible imam to the society. So the minimum thing that our sisters can do when they are brought up their children or the sons or daughters, they should give the best people to the society. So she's a role model in that aspect. On the other hand, she was also well aware of her rights, and whenever necessary, stood up against for them, as brother has mentioned.
Yes.
That
especially about Fadak.
Yeah,
you
especially
know,
about...
And, yes.
So, a lady is, she didn't become a victim.
Yes.
Who just remain at home
silence,
without saying anything
yes.
because I am a woman, I cannot raise. No, she taught us.
She raised her voice.
She raised her voice.
Injustice
and she said
time,
that, look,
right.
whenever it's injustice against you, whenever someone is taking your rights, either it's, you know, your brother, sister, I don't know, whoever is it, you need to raise your voice. You need to know how to basically raise your voice. And this shows us that, reflects that she was well known of the rights as well. She was well known of the environment of that time. And a lady should be aware of all these aspects when she's living. You know, today if we have this feminism, for example, the things that are going through the feminism.
Yes.
Why they are? Because the ladies of that time and the ladies of now, they don't know about their rights.
Yes.
And they're wrongly putting up their rights. You know, they're wrongly raising their voice. They don't know what is the right.
The
if
true
at
right.
That time, yeah, the true light, right.
Yes.
If at that time, the women of the in the beginning of the history, like in the West, if they could save their modesty and not become a tool of man for marketing, for sale. Now we see like all the advertisements, we have half-naked women. Sorry to say that.
Yes, yes.
You know, we have this. And if in an advertisement, in TV advertisement, either it's for a pen, maybe, I don't know, for a soap, for the pamper of the babies, every single aspect you take.
Yes.
If there is no lady in it.
Yes.
If there is no woman, and if she's not half naked, then obviously, you know, people don't see your advertisement.
Yes, that's
so
right.
This,
unfortunately.
They have become a tool.
Yes.
Whereas they need to... learn the lesson of chastity.
Chastity from...
Modesty.
Yes,
yes. Especially
right.
from the Lady Fatima.
The Lady Fatima.
So our Muslim sisters and brothers, sisters especially, they should think about this, that the West, if they're talking about being naked or, you know, if they're saying like the freedom is being naked, that is not the freedom. The freedom is what is in line with the character of Lady Fatima, salamu alayha.
That's all right.
So these are the main things that... are, you know, women can have. Lady Fatima inherited the genius from the Prophet, the wisdom.
Yes.
She was a wise woman. She had the determination, the willpower that she had,
yes.
piety, patience, knowledge, nobility, We can have like many things. We can see all these things in her life. Therefore, our sisters today, our daughters today, our mothers today must follow the footsteps of Lady Fatima.
That's all right.
If they want to have a good society, if they want to be the one, be the one who they are, basically. They, if they want their own entity as a woman, they need to follow the footsteps
of Lady
Fatima.
And she was martyred for her cause, you know.
Yes.
And finally, she sacrificed all the things she had, especially her life, for her main cause, that is the Prophet life. Okay, Shaykh, anything missed about Lady Fatima? Your final remarks?
Yes, just from a moral perspective, I can mention these two important points regarding the personality and characteristics of Lady Zahra, salamullah alayha. It is narrated by Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba, alayhi salam. He says that I was just listening to my mother during the night. She was praying. I listened carefully to the way that my mother was praying. Finally, I asked my mother that in the whole night you prayed, but you prayed for the others, not for yourself, for the neighbors, for example, the relatives, the other people. Why is it such that you didn't pray for yourself? Lady Zahra Samullah Alayha said that awwal jar thumma
Thumma ad-dar.
You have to give priority first to the neighbors.
To the neighbors.
Then yourself.
Then
this is a very nice narration.
Yeah, it's a lesson, you know.
A great lesson, yeah.
This is what all freedom seekers across the world and justice seekers have been thinking, you know.
Yeah, you should.
Yes, first others, then yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, now, if you connect the hadith of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, which I said in the beginning, that in the life of the Lady of Prophet, there is a role model for me.
For me.
Then definitely he is also praying for others first before he prays for the other.
Okay. And
himself.
the last point is about this ayah in the Holy Quran, وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَأَسِيرًا. So Lady Zahra, salamullah alayha, gave the breakfast, what they actually ate for iftar in Ramadan, for 3 days.
Yes.
And the first day, she gave it to يَطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا.
Yes.
So the first day, there was a poor man, a needy man, came to them, and she gave the breakfast to that man. And the second day, يَتِيمًا وَيَطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا.
An
orphan came. Yes. Yeah. But the third day is nice.
Yes.
And the third day, Asir came.
Yes.
You know, Asir is not a Muslim. Because a Muslim cannot be Asir.
Oh.
Asir is the one who is captured from the battlefield.
Okay.
And they are non-Muslims.
Okay.
And the third day, Lady Zahra, salamullah alayha, gave. And the third day, which is the hardest day, because for 3 days they fasted and they gave it.
Yes.
And the third day, she gave it to a non-Muslim, an Asir.
Okay.
This is the way they taught us that even if someone is in need of help, in need of, let's say, something, even if he is not a Muslim, and he is a captive who was captured from the battlefield,
help him.
The enemy, help him, even if that is the third day of breakfast.
Wow.
This is the two great lessons,
the
moral lessons.
The best way in order to establish dialogue, you know, between Islam and the other religions, truly. The school of Father Prophet Muhammad, Hazrat Fatima al-Zahra, and the Ahlul Bayt, you know, as are, they still call themselves all the sons of Fatima, as you know, and we know that Fatima and Zahra are among the, we can say, the most frequent names that are chosen for girls all across the world.
Exactly.
And all across the Islamic world, whether they are Sunni or Shia. That's all right. Thank you very much, Sheikh Rouhani. And Sayyid Mohsen for a nice elaboration regarding the character of Lady Fatima al-Zahra and what lessons today's women in the 21st century can take from her character. And thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to us. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com/EN Call of Islam page. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Allahumma salli ala Fatimata wa
cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news, with delight.
Iran is famous for its hand-knotted carpets and ancient art which have been loved for centuries and are never going out of style despite changing tastes and increased competition from Asia. Striking geometric shapes that recall 20th century abstract art are what we expect to see in handmade Iranian rugs. But weavers and exporters have been forced to redesign a tradition dating back more than 2,000 years due to numerous problems. Carpet exporter Ahad Azimzadeh says, however, that a revolution is underway. Iranian rugs are known for dense, curving floral designs in rich colors. They were put on display in a recent exhibition that featured a rug with small squares of hypnotic diagonal blue and white lines and another depicting diamond and other patterns in gold silk. Some countries have overtaken Iran in the global market, but many say modern carpets will never replace the traditional ones which are deep-rooted in Iranian culture.
Robots are slowly but surely becoming part of everyday life, taking on human roles in different areas. Now, fast food restaurants can make French fries faster and better as a robot called Flippy 2 takes over the job.
When an order comes in through the restaurant system, it automatically spits out the instructions to Flippy. It takes a frozen product, fries it for the precise amount of time, and puts the finished product in the end. It does it faster, more accurately, more reliably, and happier than most humans do it.
Flippy 2 has been created in a robotic lab in California called MISO after 5 years of efforts by its developers. According to the project engineers, a really good understanding of the food science is needed to make sure the food quality is there, how different food sticks together, and how the temperature and heat affect it. The MISO CEO says the machine can cook several meals with different recipes simultaneously, removing the need for catering staff.
This technology utilizes a whole bunch of computer vision. There's cameras throughout the system, including right here we have these food identification cameras. The cameras not only guide the robot and tell it exactly where it is in space and how to move through this area, but also identifies the food type and it knows the recipe for each one.
The MISO CEO says tasks like the fry station are the kind that humans are most happy to offload. The name Flippy comes from the original machine designed to flip burgers, which was not very useful for restaurants. On the outskirts of China's metropolis, Shanghai, a tiny island has been dubbed Cat Island as it provides shelter for stray animals. Since it opened last month, a charity based on the island is taking in cats mainly brought from Shanghai residents. These small carnivorous mammals are neutered and evaluated, and those with good temper and health are allowed to roam free on the island. The city's Stray Cats Management Center says their trap-neuter-release policy is to protect stray cats, limits their population, and maintain ecological balance. However, Shanghai has an estimated 200 stray cats per square kilometer, which means other methods will be needed to control the urban population, stray cats. A pair of baby panda twins make their debut appearance at the Chongqing Zoo in southwest China, with visitors flocking to cherish the abundance of cuteness.
Our returnee panda, Ershan, gave birth to the twin brother and sister on July 22nd this year. Currently, the elder brother weighs 4.3 grams and the younger sister weighs 0.6 grams. They're in good condition at present.
The twins' first public appearance was on Saturday, the first day of the week-long National Day holidays. During this week, the pair of giant panda cubs will be on display in the nursery of the panda house of the zoo. Their mother, Ershan, once lived in Canada as a goodwill envoy, but returned to her homeland in 2020. This was Ershan's second delivery of twins. A total of 21 pandas currently live in the Chongqing Zoo, which has been breeding giant pandas since the 1960s. The evolution of robots has been one of the fascinations of recent technological developments. And now the most cutting-edge achievements in that department were presented to the public during a conference in Beijing. The four-day annual World Robot Conference was held both offline and online. It featured three major events, including forum, expo, and competition. On display were more than 500 sets of robots from 130 companies from China and abroad. The conference gave an idea of how the future of humanity will be impacted by the automations. It shows how they can contribute to different sectors, from the restaurant industry and medicine to elderly care, agriculture, and manufacturing.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
An aircraft powered by electricity may still be some way off, but one of its types is already here thanks to a whole range of innovative solutions being developed by aviation firms. American company Aviation Aircraft has debuted its all-electric plane in Washington State. The aircraft, named Alice, took off the runway at Grand County International Airport and flew for 8 minutes. It reached an altitude of 3,500 feet before touching down the ground. According to the company, the aircraft produces no carbon emissions, significantly reduces noise, and costs a fraction to operate compared to usual light jets. The company says it continues to develop and tweak the plane's battery system for an hour flight.
We're targeting a design criteria of 35 minutes for a charge. And so that'll be a charge for the typical route length. It's actually, as I just said, it's actually a design point. So going back to the comment I made earlier about designing batteries for aircraft, it's one of the considerations is how quickly do we want it to charge and how much power do you want to be able to draw from it. So again, we're targeting call it 30 minutes of charge for an hour of flight time or about 2C if you're...
The company aims to find its way into the market for trips that sit between 150 and 250 miles, a range that features aircraft similar in size to Alice. It will also be for both commuter and cargo flights. For aircraft manufacturers, this paradigm shift is driving fuel savings in flight and on the ground, reducing carbon footprints and NOx emissions while also improving reliability and cutting maintenance cost. Many people of the world are supported almost completely by animals because they live in areas unsuitable for animal husbandry. But these days, even some city dwellers are making their living out of animals, like a Virginia girl. Andrea Diaz quit her job at a restaurant and started to rent her pet alpacas to cheer up steer crazy Americans during the pandemic. Since the launch of her business in 2020, it has expanded from 2 to 14 alpacas. Interestingly, five with fluffy pets are regularly making a paid appearance at birthdays, weddings, restaurants, and offices. She charges a starting price of $95 per hour. Diaz says the best part is when there are kids' birthday parties, but even it's really a fun for the adults. She calls alpacas a good exposure because they attract people.
In most of its habitats, the heavily trafficked pangolin faces the biggest threat from humans. But in Taiwan, these gentle creatures are exposed to quite a different danger, feral dogs. In the island, a government policy has led to a surge in the population of feral dogs. The pangolins share most of their roaming area with the stray animals. Plus, these scaly animals cannot move as fast as their attackers. When faced with danger, pangolins curl themselves into a ball shape, but the tail still remains at the most outer side, and that's where the dogs hit them hard.
Ecuador's Galapagos National Park is testing different coral replanting methods in an effort to restore fragile underwater ecosystems around local islands.
These corals are important because they are recyclers in the ocean. They convert all the CO2 into oxygen. These corals are important because they are refuges, nurseries, and nursery areas for some fish species.
Coral reef die-offs affect the marine food supply chains and are considered a major climate tipping point. The experimental project is run by park rangers and volunteers in a bay on Santa Cruz Island. Since 2020, they have tested how corals reproduce when they are placed on surfaces like bricks, cement, or tied together and strung on metal frames. They're growing samples in a nursery before adding them to bay. The rangers are reporting improvements with the appearance of new fish near the replanted corals.
A free climber known as the French Spider-Man scales a 48-story skyscraper in Paris to fulfill a goal he set for himself once he reached the age of 60.
A few years back, I promised myself that the day I turn 60, I have to climb the total tower. Because 60 years old marks retirement age in France, and so I thought this would make a very good nod.
Alain Roberts says this building is not as hard as others he has climbed. The French Spider-Man has ascended over 100 of the world's tallest buildings, including the Sydney Tower, the Sears Tower in Chicago, and the Burj Khalifa in Dubai, amongst many others. Roberts says he spent 2 decades climbing mountains before attempting urban climbs. Using his rock climbing experience, he sometimes carries a small bag of climbing chalk to help him grasp the small protrusions of building walls. Many of his climbs can last several hours. The 60-year-old daredevil says he wants to give people the message that age is a number and one can still be active and do sports. A Palestinian farmer has discovered an ancient Byzantine-era mosaic when preparing to plant an olive tree on his plot of land in the Gaza Strip. The farmer and his son have been carefully excavating the area for 3 months since spring. The pair dug out 3 patches, revealing glimpses of an ornate mosaic with intricate images of birds, flora, and tile patterns. Its full size is roughly 23 square meters. The discovery has set off excitement amongst archaeologists. Experts say it is one of the most well-preserved specimens, with precision in graphics and richness in colors. According to archaeologists, the mosaic pavement dates back to the 5th and 7th centuries. Last month, another Palestinian farmer found the rare stone sculpture while working on his land, which dates back to around 2500 BC.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page. We welcome to another episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. I'm Ata, the host of this program. With me in the studio, we have Hujjatul Islam Karimi. Assalamu alaikum, Hujjatul Karimi. Welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me.
Okay, Sheikh, for today's discussion, we want to talk about an important event in the early Islamic history, and that is the usurpation of Fadak, Hadithat al-Fadak, about Lady Fatima al-Zahra's reaction to that and her replies to the usurpers of Fadak on that time. Let's talk a little bit about this fertile village near Khaybar called Fadak in Hejaz. Whose property was it, and why Hazrat Lady Fatima al-Zahra, we can say, was after owning this fertile village again for herself?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Because it belonged to her, to have a short answer to this question. We know that Fadak belonged to the Jews of Khaybar, and when, this land was conquered by the Muslims without any war in the year 7 after Hijrah. We know that they accepted, the Jews of Khaybar accepted the, to come to a kind of agreement with the Prophet, and they gave half of the lands to the Prophet.
Yes.
So according to the Islamic rulings, these types of lands are called fay'. Whatever land is conquered without any kind of fighting is called fay.
Yes.
And based on the verses 6 and 7 of chapter Hajj, all these lands only belong to the Prophet, and the Prophet may give it to whoever he wishes. Of course, we know that he does based on divine orders.
Yes.
And all the Shia scholars and some of the Sunni scholars agree that when the verse wa'ati dal qurba haqqa, and give the relatives, the rights, was revealed, the Holy Prophet gave Fadak to Fatima al-Zahra, salamullahi alayha. It's been mentioned by many Sunni scholars as well, like Suyuti in Ad-Dur al-Manthur, Tha'labi in his book of tafsir, known as Al-Kashf wal-Bayan, Hakim Haskan in Shawahid al-Tanzil, Muttaqi al-Hindi in Kanzul al-Umar, and many other Sunni scholars as well.
And what do you mean by giving by Prophet Muhammad as an inheritance?
No. Know that when a man is alive, we cannot talk about inheritance.
Okay.
The Holy Prophet gave Fadak to Fatima, salamullahi alayha, as a kind of gift.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're alive, you are able to distribute your wealth to whomever you wish. So Fadak belonged to the Prophet, and the Prophet gave it to Fatima, not as a kind of inheritance or earth.
Yes.
And this is one of the important points, that because the first caliph claimed that he's taking back Fadak to Baytul Mal because the Prophets do not leave any inheritance. But the point is that it was not given to Fatima salamullah alayha as a kind of inheritance. As long as the Holy Prophet is alive, to talk about inheritance is meaningless.
Yes.
So during his life, the Holy Prophet gave Fadak to Fatima al-Zahra, salamullah alayha, as a kind of gift. But unfortunately, after the demise of the Prophet, it was usurped by the caliph of the time.
Okay.
And then...
And is it true that, for example, there was an ayah on this... For example, giving.
Yeah, as I mentioned, the verse "Ati dal qurba haqqa," who was revealed.
The haqq, the right.
The right. Yes, yeah, okay. And because of that's this right. verse, the Holy Prophet gave Fadak to Fatima al-Zahra, salamullah alayha.
Okay.
And as you rightly mentioned, Lady Zahra, salamullah alayha, did her best to, retake and take back Fadak because, for sure, it was her own property and it was usurped. I will talk about the reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But let's talk about, what happened after the demise of the Prophet. It was usurped. The Holy Lady Zahra Salamullah alayha went to Abu Bakr and discussed with him regarding, this land. And the discussion is mentioned in Shia and Sunni sources. Like Abu Bakr says that the Holy Prophet did not leave any inheritance, and Lady Zahra Salamullah alayha said that it was given to me by my father as a kind of gift, not as a kind of inheritance.
Yes.
And then
The Abu Bakr's claim was based on what?
There is a narration that Abu Bakr is referring to that نَحْنُ مَعَاشَ الْأَنْبِيَاء لَا نُوَرِّثْ. We, the prophets, do not leave any inheritance. But the point is that according to the Shia, this narration has no basis and is a fake narration.
Yes.
Because of the fact that the Noble Book of Quran talk about the prophets inheriting from each other and the prophets leaving inheritance, like Waritha Sulaiman, Dawood.
Yes.
The Quran is very explicit in saying that the prophets also leave inheritance.
And you said that this was not an inheritance.
Yeah.
It was a heba. It was a kind of gift given to Lady Fatima. That's right. Okay.
So, according to some reports, then Abu Bakr asked for some witnesses, and Lady Zahra Salamullah alayha, and after that, Imam Ali alayhi salam and Umm Ayman witnessed, and he was about to give Fadaglu to Fatima to Zahra Salamullah alayha. According to some narrations, the second caliph prevented that, and according to some reports, even a paper was given to Lady Zahra Salamullah alayha, in which it was written that that Fadak belongs to him, but the second caliph tore it, and the rest of the story, which is mentioned in the historical sources.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
Ibn Abil Hadid, the famous Sunni scholar, says that I asked Ibn al-Fariqi, one of the famous Sunni scholars of that time, that was Fatima Salamullah alayha telling the truth? He said, yes.
Okay.
Then I asked why Abu Bakr did not give her Fadak, and Ibn al-Fariqi has a very profound answer. He says that because had he given Fadak to her back, then the following day, Fatima Salamullah alayha would claim caliphate for her husband, that is Imam Ali alayhi salam. And Abu Bakr was not able to reject her words because he has already accepted her words about Fadak. Now, next, when Fatima Zahra Salamullah alayha, when she was not able to take back Fadak, we have Imam Ali alayhi salam trying his best. He goes to the mosque and talks to the immigrants and the helpers, and he also addressing Abu Bakr.
Yes.
Talks about the fact that this is a land belonging to Fatima Zahra Salamullah alayha. He recites Ayatul Tathir. And then we have the famous khutbah of Lady Fatima Zahra, the famous sermon known as the Sermon of Fadakiyah.
Yes.
In which she not only talks about her right to Fadak, but she talks about different issues, the most important of which is the right of Imam Ali alayhi salam regarding caliphate.
Now this is the main question that we do not find any struggle for, mundane world, for, we can say, the materialistic world in the life of Imam Ali and Lady Fatima Zahra. But her struggle for getting back the ownership of Fadak for sure has a profound reason in her mind. Do you know what were those reasons?
Yeah, there are a couple of points that we may take into consideration. First of all, at the end of the day, a kind of usurpation has happened.
Mm-hmm.
So according to Islamic teachings, you are not allowed to oppress people, and at the same time, you are not allowed to accept, to submit to oppression of other people toward you. So Islam does not agree for Muslims to be suppressed. No, if someone is usurping your properties, then just resist. So, I mean, the first point is that at the end of the day, a land which belongs to you is usurped, and it is your right to, I mean, reject, to oppose that. So it is very natural for Fatima Zahra Salamun Alayha to object, to, try her best to take it back.
Okay.
This is, the apparent understanding of the event, which is in and of itself important. At the end of the day, as I mentioned, it belongs to you. Some people, they are trying to usurp, and now it is your right to defend your right and to take it back. Second of all, according to some scholars, Lady Fatima Zahra Salamun Alayha at the same time is trying to reveal the true nature of the caliphs to the people, to tell them that they are usurping a right of the daughter of Fatima Zahra Salamun Alayha, because at that time not all the Muslims knew all the realities about all the companions of the Prophet. So through her efforts, Fatima Zahra Salamun Alayha is trying her best to reveal such realities to all the Muslims.
And we also maybe the concept of justice is not done, for example, and they are getting back into the Jahiliya period.
Definitely.
Of injustice, that's right.
Third of all, Imam Ali alayhi salam and Fatima Zahra Salamun Alayha, both of them, in defending their rights regarding Fadak, they are taking the best out of an opportunity to talk about the issue, the important issue of caliphate of Imam Ali alayhi salam, and this is very important. As I mentioned in the sermon of Fadakiyah, which was delivered by Lady Zahra Salamun Alayha in the mosque of Medina, she is addressing many Muslims, and she is talking in details about the rights of Imam Ali alayhi salam regarding caliphate and successorship after the Prophet.
Okay.
And the next point is that when we read the history of Islam and the stories of Lady Zahra Salamun Alayha and Imam Ali alayhi salam, we come to this conclusion that they were leading a very poor life. I mean, they did not, although Imam alayhi salam was very wealthy in terms of having dug so many wells and so on and so forth.
Supposed to have a simple life.
Exactly.
A simple lifestyle.
Simple lifestyle, yeah.
Yes.
They were able to, have a life with so many wealth and properties because Imam alayhi salam was able to do so. But in all the cases, they distributed whatever they had and they gave it in charity.
Yes.
The story of giving their iftar to...
Three successive days.
Exactly. It's
very
famous.
To the captive, to the orphan, to the non-Muslim. That's right.
So we are talking about this family. And this family is not after Fadak for...
materialistic
a
life.
Very wealthy life.
Yes,
no.
Yes.
Even if they are able to gain Fadak, at the end of the day, they are going to, distribute the fruits and whatever in charity among the poor people, especially the members of the Ahlul Bayt who were suppressed by the caliphs of the time, by the Umayyads and Abbasid caliphs. So we know that if Fadak remained in the hands of the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt for many years, they were able to give it to all those Shia who were under great suppression by the Umayyad and Abbasid caliphs.
Okay.
And it was not, a small land. No, it was a big land with so many fruits, so many palm trees. And according to some reports, the number of the trees of this village were like those of the city, great city of Kufa.
Yes.
So this is another reason that... Lady Zahra Salamun Alayha and Imam Ali alayhi salam, they tried their best to take Fadak back, but unfortunately at that time they were not able to do so and they were rejected.
And the Fadak, we can say village and the garden had different stories because during the history at the time of different caliphates, sometimes it was given back to this, we can say, descendants of Lady Fatima, sometimes it was usurped again. But all in all, we could say that, that's right, it has so many claimants on that time, we can say, and it was given back sometimes to the owners of Fadak. Thank you much, Sheikh. It was very kind of you talking about FADEC and its ownership by Lady Fatima Zahra. It was very kind of you.
My pleasure.
And thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs on IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. For more information, visit our website, parstoday.com/EN Call of Islam page. See another episode. God bless you all. Fi amanillah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Li Aliyin wa Husayn wa Hasan.
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/EN.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Shaykh Qasim Muhammadi.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wa bihi nasta'in. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ahli bayti at-tayyibin at-tahirin. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala Muhammadin wa ajjil farajhum. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You're listening to IRIB English Radio, and this is For Humanity. We've been talking about the humanity and the necessity and importance of this topic, that to study humanity and the reality of human being. And we talked about it and talked about the necessity of this topic in a sort of rational way and without a religion. So if you're not even a religious person, or if you do not believe in any religion, rationally you are supposed to go and study the human being's nature and the reality of human being. But inshallah, in this program and today's program, we're going to talk about some reasons from within religion of Islam, from the Quran and the Sunnah of the Holy Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wassalam, as regards the necessity and importance of studying human's reality and human's nature, and the importance of this issue. So the first thing that we have to take into consideration is that the knowledge about man is an opening for the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and God, and it paves the way for that knowledge. Look, brothers and sisters, in philosophy, they said that we have two kinds of knowledge. Knowledge by presence and acquired knowledge. We can have both of these two knowledges about ourself. When consider yourself and have introspective consciousness about yourself, there you are experiencing a sort of knowledge by presence, meaning there is no intermediary thing or image in between you and your knowledge. Whereas when you think of your action or your abilities, it is a sort of acquired knowledge of yourself. Since there is the intermediation of a mental image of your actions and the like in your mind. And with respect to this issue, Ayatollah Misbah Yazdi rahmatullahi alayh, with respect to this issue that it is one of the ways, or maybe the necessary preliminary for getting to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and acquiring the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to know yourself first. And inshallah, we're going to refer to the traditions and the ayat of this with respect to this issue as well. So this is why he says, when you want to get and acquire or have a sort of knowledge by science of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the ways is to know yourself first. And also, if you want to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the acquired knowledge, also that acquired knowledge of yourself that would help you to have that acquired knowledge about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. So with intuition and that knowledge from within, that introspective knowledge that you may develop towards yourself, you also can get to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also when you're you're studying, for example, about yourself, about your actions, about the power that you have, about the knowledge that you have, that is a sort of acquired knowledge, al-ilm al-husuli and not al-ilm al-huduri. In that effort that you are doing also, you are paving the way for getting to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala better in the acquired sort of knowledge. So this is one of the reasons that it is so important for us to talk about human being and the nature of human being and the reality of human being. Let's have a short break, and inshallah we're going to talk about the other maybe reasons that we can get from the Quran and the Sunnah with respect to the importance and necessity of studying human being.
Dear listeners, you are listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio for Humanity. We actually talked about the first reason that we can get from the religion of Islam, and we referred to the quotation from Al-Allama Misbah Yazdi with respect to getting the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, both by knowledge by presence and also acquired knowledge, that and the fact that it is necessary for us, or it is one of the ways that we can get the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and God and his attributes, is to know ourselves, whether by knowledge by presence or by the knowledge of acquisition or the acquired knowledge. So let's take a look at some ayat and some verses of the Quran with respect to this issue. So the first ayah that talks about this issue, that through getting to know oneself and the self of human being, we can get the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is in Surah Al-Dhariyat, verse number 20 and 21. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَفِي الْأَرْضَ آيَاتٌ لِلْمُوقِنِينَ وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ. For those with sure belief, there are signs in the earth and also in yourselves. Can you not see? So this verse vividly shows that by pondering upon ourselves and the nature and the reality of ourselves, we can get to know the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we can acquire the knowledge about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another verse that I'm going to refer to is from Surah Fussilat, verse 53. which is a very famous verse with respect to arguments for the existence of God. سَنُرِيهِمْ آيَاتِنَا فِي الْآفَاقِ وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُ الْحَقُّ أَوَلَمْ يَكْفِ بِرَبِّكَ أَنَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ شَهِيدٍ. We will show them our signs in all the horizons